Well, good morning. If you're a guest, welcome. And if you're a guest or you don't know me very well, let me tell you something about me. I don't like to wait. Let me be completely blunt. I despise waiting. It doesn't matter where it is or what it is, I don't like to wait. I'd like to read to you from this book by Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Some of you are familiar with it, I take it. Dr. Seuss writes about the waiting place. And this is what the theologian, Dr. Seuss, has to say. The waiting place for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting, perhaps, for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. The waiting place. I don't like to wait. I realize I'm not alone. Most of us don't like to wait. But over my years of being a follower of Christ, I have been learning. It's present tense. It is not I have learned. It is I have been, continue to learn, and will continue to learn that waiting on the Lord is a crucial commitment that matters. Waiting on God is expected in the Christian life. Waiting on God is a discipline that will sanctify you and shape you and cause you to spiritually mature. Dr. Seuss understands waiting. The Puritans, you ever hear of them, those old guys? They understand waiting too. You may have heard of them. They were ministers in England and in North America during the 16th, 17th, and early 18th centuries. The Puritans worked to reform and purify the church and to lead people toward godly living. The Puritans also understand the reality of waiting, and they understand the reality so well that the Puritans developed a doctrine of waiting. They refer to it as being in God's school of waiting. Dr. Seuss understands waiting. The Puritans, they understand waiting. Everyone is waiting. Maybe you're waiting this morning for a husband or a wife, and you're tired of being in limbo as you wonder, if God wants me to be single, why hasn't He taken away my desire for marriage? Everyone's waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a baby, but you've struggled with infertility for years and years, and maybe after being treated for endometriosis and starting fertility treatments, you feel the joy of taking not one, not two, but three pregnancy tests, and they're all positive. And then after two routine visits with the doctor, you suffer a miscarriage, and month after month after month after month pass without another pregnancy. And then you start the adoption process, and the adoption agency selects you to be adoptive parents, but the birth mother changes her mind at the last minute after the baby is born because of the influence of the baby's grandmother, and the 17-year-old mother chooses to keep the baby girl, and so the waiting goes on and on. That's a true story. When sickness is serious, it is rarely over quickly. Waiting is fundamental to the experience of illness. We wait to schedule appointments with doctors. We wait to schedule MRIs. We wait on test results. We wait to start treatment. We wait during treatment. We wait for the side effects of the treatment. We wait for more test results after the treatment. We wait for remission. We wait for recurrences over the course of several years. Maybe you're here this morning and you're homesick. You're waiting for home. You've moved around so much. You've shuttled back and forth between divorced parents for years, and so you really don't know where home is. You live without a sense of stability or a sense of belonging or a sense of roots, and maybe you live far away from your family back in Maryland or Massachusetts or Michigan or Minnesota, and you long to live near them. Maybe you had to sell your childhood home after your parents died. Whatever the case, you are homesickly, waiting for a home here on earth and ultimately your home in heaven. Maybe you're here today and you're a parent waiting for your prodigal son or daughter to come to his or her senses and return home to Jesus Christ. No one, not even the best Christian, can guarantee that his or her son or daughter won't stray from the faith. Maybe you're praying like crazy for your unmarried prodigal son that he will not father a child or marry the wrong woman for him or make some terrible choice that results and a lifetime of pain. And so you wait and you wait and you wait for years. You constantly wait, constantly, lovingly, gently, humbly pursuing him as you desperately wait for your son to come back. Maybe you are a forsaken spouse, betrayed and left by an unfaithful husband or wife who did not stay with you. And like Hosea in the Bible, there's a book, Hosea. This is his story. God will not let you let your spouse go, and so you're waiting for your prodigal spouse to return home. Everyone is waiting. Waiting for deployment to start, waiting for deployment to end. Waiting to graduate, waiting to figure out what to do with the rest of your life, waiting. The Bible has a lot to say about this crucial commitment because waiting is one of the hardest things that you can do in your life. And waiting figures prominently into the lives of many people and many stories in the Bible. Think about Noah. Noah waited for the flood waters to proceed. Think about Abraham, who had to wait for many, many years for his promised son. In fact, he took matters into his own hand, much to his regret. Israel waited for over 400 years for deliverance from Egypt, and then another 40 years before they could enter the land that God had promised them. Moses, who led them, had to wait in the desert for 40 years before he delivered the Israelites from Egypt. Joseph had to wait in a prison cell. Hannah, she waited for a baby. These stories are true stories, but they are only small-scale versions of the bigger story. And the bigger story is Israel waiting for God to fulfill his promises to her. As long as you and I live on this earth, we will be waiting for something. What are you waiting for today? The writer of our sermon text today is King David. He finds himself waiting for the Lord, waiting for God to help him, waiting for God to comfort him in his time of need. And David wonders as he writes, how long will I have to wait? I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 27. It's on page 384 of our Pew Bibles. So find it in our Pew Bible, find it in your Bible, find it on your devices. Psalm 27, page 384. And as I read this psalm, I want you to do something for me. I want you, as I read through Psalm 27 on page 384, I want you to notice, I want you to look for God. So look for God as I read, and I want you to notice how many times you see the word Lord and pronouns that refer to God, him, his, you, how many times you see God, my Savior. So look for God as I read this psalm to you. You will find that God is the subject of this psalm. God is the focus of this psalm. This is a God-centered psalm. This is a great psalm to read and to memorize and to meditate upon when you are in the waiting place. Psalm 27. So let me invite you, if you're able, to please stand as I read to you this psalm in its entirety, Psalm 27, a psalm of David. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then will my head be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You may be seated. So David is an honest man as he pens this psalm. He's both confident and he's concerned. He's a man of faith and a man of fears. He's trusting, yet he's wondering about it all. David is very much like you and me. He needs to get his focus back on God, who God is, and what God will do. And this psalm provides hope for David, and it will provide hope for you while you wait. My focus this morning is on verse 14, the last verse that I read. But before we arrive at verse 14, let me set the table for you. David is facing difficulties, which are pressing in on him and smothering his soul and threatening to destroy him. And the waiting in his life is killing him. We can divide the psalm, Psalm 27, into two parts. Part one It encompasses verses 1-6. Part one is a waiting man's statement of his trust in God. He's waiting, and as he waits, he says, God, I trust you, in verses 1-6. Part two encompasses verses 7 to 14, where this waiting man unleashes an unashamed, passionate cry for help. So David, he begins this psalm with a jubilant confidence in God, despite the threats and challenges he's facing. David begins with an undaunted confidence in God. He describes his trouble with the image of darkness, and he speaks of God as light. You can see it in your Bibles in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord upholds and protects David, just like the strong walls of an ancient fortress city will protect the residents against the assaults of the enemy who's attacking by land. Verse 1, the Lord is the stronghold or the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see the focus on God? Instead of on what he's waiting for, he focuses on God. David describes his confidence in God in verses 2-3. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Not me, they will. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. I'll be confident in God. And so no matter how great, no matter how threatening the danger may be around me, I refuse to be afraid. I will still be confident in God. So I have a question for you. When you feel threatened, when you feel in danger, what do you wish for? Do you wish for a locked door with an alarm system? Do you wish for rest and peace? Do you wish for comfort or a good meal of comfort food, whatever that might be for you? Let me show you what David wants in moments like that when he feels threatened or in danger. Verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me on a high rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. So in his situation in life, David's laser focus in life is on God, not on his circumstances in the waiting place. His focus, his laser focus is on God. As you wait for your prodigal to come home, keep your laser focus on God. As you wait to sell your house or wait for a job, keep your laser focus on God.